We'll be in Acts chapter 20. We're going to cover the entire chapter because most of the chapter is really Paul talking to some men that are in charge of the church at Ephesus. Now, for whatever reason, he didn't want to go back to Ephesus. He wanted to go to a different city called Miletus, but he wanted to talk to these men before he went to Jerusalem because we're starting to come into a time period where Paul is finishing up his what's going to be his final missionary journey. Now on the map here it says third and fourth journeys, but really Paul's fourth journey was simply a trip to a prison in Rome, a prison that he was going to really end up finishing off his ministry at that prison in Rome. Even though he was going to be released for a little bit under house arrest, eventually he was going to lose his life there at Rome. So when we say third, he had three missionary journeys, the fourth journey is really not himself being in control. He's a prisoner traveling mostly by ship. So that's what the fourth journey is mostly about, to Rome. But here he's finishing up his third journey, and he doesn't want to go back into Ephesus for whatever reason. We'll look at the map here real quick. But there's a little town here called Miletus, just a little bit south of Ephesus, which is where most of what chapter 20 happens in. But before we get to Paul's really discussion with these men, there's a few interesting things that happened before that. And don't forget the questions that show up, those trivia questions that come on the countdown timer. We're going to do a little quiz, a fun quiz, and you'll get a chance to win coins. One of them is an authentic Roman coin about 2,000 years old. Another one is a copy of what that Roman coin should really look like because it's very worn. It's not worth a whole lot of money, but it is an interesting thing to have. And I know for us to say 2,000 years old, we think, wow, that's really, really old, you know. But when I took my mission or trip to China, they had coins there. They're about the same time period. Some of them a little bit older than that, and they're selling them for about a dollar each U.S. in the thing because they have lots of them, you know. So we think because, you know, Christopher Columbus didn't come until the 1400s, you know, that's really old for us. But it's not that old for a Roman coin. But it is something neat to have. It would be neat to hold something that's 2,000 years old, something that's hopefully older than anything else you own, okay? Hopefully, you know. Maybe some of us own some rocks that may be a little bit older, you know, 6,000 or 7,000-year-old rocks, but most of us probably just that coin. So, anyway, I digress. Don't forget about the coins. We looked at the map where Miletus was. Miletus is an old city. It was an important seaport. Not much is known about it historically, and as far as population goes, it was a religion. However, it was famous for its merchants. Merchants went out of Miletus and settled little colonies to trade in all over the Mediterranean. They were known for their sailors that left Miletus and brought back trade. During the Roman Empire, it was still a heavily trade port, but not a lot of people actually lived there to stay. But one interesting thing that they have found there in Miletus is they had one of the largest theaters in Asia Minor. And it was built on an open field instead of on a hillside. Most of them were built on a hillside so the person speaking could speak up into the hill. This theater was just built out in an open field, which is a little bit interesting. And some people think that Paul met somewhere in the area of this theater to speak to the men at Ephesus. But let's look at chapter 20 of Acts. And let's read verse 35, and then we'll come back into the chapter. Now this is Paul speaking in verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think this verse is the key to this chapter. Paul talks about how he showed these men at Ephesus what they were to do to support the weak. And I believe that it's not just talking about weak physically or weak financially, but it's primarily talking about those who are younger than us spiritually. It can also mean those that are in financial trouble, but I believe the primary message are those that are weak spiritually, how they are to support the weak, and how Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you think that's true? It is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you kids think that's true? How many of you parents think that's true? Now, I look forward to Christmas time because I enjoy giving presents. And Chloe has already given me a list of things she wants for Christmas. And she's been adding to that list almost daily. And we were talking about it today. I said, Chloe, you're going to enjoy the sermon tonight, because the sermon tonight is, we're talking about, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, as a parent, I understand this probably better than I ever have, because I do enjoy giving things to my children. I enjoy watching them open them up and play with the toys that I get them or whatever it is that I've gotten them. I enjoy that a lot. But I think, from a spiritual standpoint, we should look at people around us as being our children. People around us who aren't maybe as spiritually strong, maybe not as mature in the faith as we are, as being younger than us, that we can give something to them. And then also to those that are lost around us, that it's more blessed to give something to them than to receive. And I think that's what the Lord Jesus meant here. Because really, the whole purpose of the gospel is to give to us. Listen to what one author said. Richard Lenski said this: God is the most blessed giver. Jesus likewise. His whole ministry was giving, and in death he gave his life for us. The glory of the whole gospel is in the fact that it is nothing but giving. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, about giving in the gospel. But before that, I don't want to skip over this little inserted story here. So keep that in mind. We'll go back to the beginning of the chapter. Look at verses 7 through 12. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, that's on Sunday, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now that's a long sermon, okay? And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man, named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embraced him, and said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even until break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. That's an interesting story. In fact, I looked at just that story and thought, well, maybe I can make my point. You must not sleep in church, you know. Or maybe for me and Pastor Jimmy, you must not preach till midnight, right? But the funny thing here, too, is that Paul preached till midnight, and this guy fell out of the window, and they thought he was dead. And Paul, it seems like that Paul either rose him back to life or that a miracle happened here. And then it didn't stop Paul. Paul went and preached all through the rest of the night till daybreak. I don't think Eutychus fell back asleep again after that, though. Maybe he stayed awake the rest of the sermon, or maybe he got a lower seat, you know, not to sit in the window. So that's an interesting story. But I think it also sheds a little bit of light on that Paul had some urgency about what he was doing. And I think Paul realized he would never again come back through here, and that he was trying to impart to them as much as he could before he left. And, of course, for this young man, he fell asleep. But I think in Paul's mindset was that he realized that he wasn't going to come back. He realized what was going to happen to him at Jerusalem. He realized that he was going to become a prisoner there in Jerusalem and be sent to Rome. And he realized that time was short, and he wanted to impart as much as he could to these people. But that brings us to our point. The main idea out of this chapter, I think Paul expresses it wonderfully here in this chapter, is that we must give to others. And our key verse there in verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That we must give to others. I'm not talking about money so much, but I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint, we should be giving to others that are around us, from a spiritual standpoint. Someone that may be younger than us in the faith, we need to encourage them. Someone who maybe has dropped out of church, we need to make sure that we encourage them. We need to make sure that we're faithful ourselves in church to support those that are around us. We need to make sure that if we're around lost people, that we share the gospel with them. We need to make sure that we're always giving to others. The heart of Jesus was giving, and the essence of the gospel was also giving. And of course, we know that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Can you imagine if Jesus, or if God, had just simply said that he loved us, but had never given anything to prove it? What would that have done for us? It wouldn't have done anything for us, right? would have simply known that somewhere there was a God that loved us, but would have had no evidence to prove it. We would have known that maybe God had said that He loved us, but our lives wouldn't have been changed. We would have still been sunk in our sin. And if we had died, we still would have gone to hell if Jesus hadn't given Himself. If God hadn't sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for us. Without the giving, I have honestly believed there cannot really be love for someone else. Pastor Jimmy talked about this a little bit on Sunday, that we're to love others, and that we really can't love God without loving others. And to take it a step further, I don't think we can love others without giving something to them. Maybe for some of us it's giving time. Maybe for some of us it is helping out someone financially. Maybe for some of us it's simply sharing the gospel with those that are around us. And that's really the job that all of us have, to share the gospel, to give the gospel out. But we must give to others, just like God did, the example that God sent by giving His Son. Without giving, we would not have any hope. And how can we give to others? And look at these three things quickly. Paul gave to others in these three ways. He's going to talk about it. He's talking to these men here from Ephesus. And I'm not sure why he asked these men to meet him in Miletus. I'm not sure if he wanted to bring them away from the trials, the troubles in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was kind of a tough city. Remember when we talked about Paul being there? They had Diana worship there. They had a big riot that was going on. So maybe he wants them to take a break, to listen to what he's saying. Maybe he himself can't go back into Ephesus because he feels like he'll be arrested before he can get back to Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say, but for some reason he brought these men out of Ephesus, asked them to meet him, and met them in Miletus, that city just a little bit south of Ephesus. And as he meets with them, he begins to share with them what he's done. And these men know what Paul's example is. And I don't think Paul's trying to lift himself up here. I don't think Paul's trying to draw attention to himself. I think Paul's trying to establish a pattern of his own ministry and using that pattern to tell these men, this is how you need to serve others. This is how you need to give to others. And that's our first point. How do we give to others? We give to them by serving. By serving. Verse 19 through 21. Look at these verses. Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are some powerful verses that Paul tells them of how he was serving. That serving God requires us to give to others. And if you look at these verses, you realize that even for Paul, serving wasn't very easy. In fact, he talks about tears, how it drove him to tears somehow. Maybe it was just the pain. Maybe it was the stress of the ministry. But whatever it was, there are times that it brought tears to Paul. That it's hard work to serve others. And I want you to understand that if you're going to give to others and you're going to serve others, that it is hard work. It does take time. It does take effort. And it does cause stress sometimes and trials sometimes. And I'm sure in Paul's life, he even experienced where he would invest his time, invest his life into somebody, and that person would eventually turn away from the gospel. That would turn away from the things that were so dear to Paul. And how that must have hurt Paul's heart. In fact, we see that in our own ministry even here sometimes, where we invest time in someone, and yet they turn away. We invest time with someone, and yet it never seems like the things of the Lord are as important to them as it is to us. And we see that in Paul's ministry too. And I want you to understand that that's normal. That shouldn't be a reason for us to stop serving. That shouldn't be a reason for us to stop giving to others. And yet, those things will happen. And it will be discouraging. Yet Paul says that he kept back nothing that was profitable. He continued to teach publicly. He continued to go from house to house, both to the Jews and to the Greeks, even though the Jews were trying to stop him. And how the two things that he preached, repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key to serving others, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, it is going to be difficult. And look, that brings us to our second point. The second point is by testifying to others about what Jesus has done for you. So one of the best ways to give to others is to testify to them what Jesus has done for us. Look at these verses here, verses 23 through 27. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Three different times in these verses, Paul talks about sharing with others the gospel of Jesus Christ, declaring the counsel of God, testifying about the gospel of the grace of God. All these things that Paul did in his life, it cost Paul something to testify of God to these people. He talks about how he didn't even count his own life dear unto himself, how that he was in bonds and afflictions here in these verses, and yet he could say at the end of his ministry he knew that he wouldn't see these men again, but yet at the same time that he was free from the blood of the men that he had come into contact with. That's a strong statement from Paul. That Paul was able to say, you know, I can honestly say in my own life that the people that have come in contact with me knew that I was a Christian, and I never wasted an opportunity to share the gospel with them. I never wasted an opportunity to testify to them what God has done in my life. You know, I can honestly say in my own life that there are many times that I don't take opportunities. There are many times I don't take advantage of the situations that God puts me in, because oftentimes I feel like I'm too busy. I feel like that maybe this will be embarrassing, or maybe that person doesn't have time. Whatever the case is, I cannot stand like Paul did and say, I am free from the blood of all men. Everyone that God has brought to me, that I have testified to them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want us to think that possibly we can say that same thing too, where we're not free from their blood, but that we need to make a commitment from this time on to be free from the blood of the people that God brings into us. Now, does that mean that everyone's going to listen to the gospel? No, it doesn't. In fact, Paul talked about how sometimes sharing the gospel got him into trouble. Sometimes sharing the gospel hurt him physically. Sometimes sharing the gospel brought him ridicule from those that are around him. Now, that's not up to us. The part that does weigh on us, the part that is our responsibility, is the sharing of the gospel. It's our responsibility to share the gospel that the people God brings into our life. Paul said that he was free from the blood of all men. He had not shunned to declare unto everyone the counsel of God. That's another thing that we can do by giving to others. Paul says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We can do that by serving. We can do that by testifying to those that are around us, by sharing with those that are around us how we can give to others. The third thing that I want us to look at, and this one's a little bit different. These two things, by serving, by testifying, those things are outward. But this really is the source of where Paul, his serving to others, his testifying, his giving to others, comes from. And that brings us to this, by remembering. Look what Paul says in this verse, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, we know that Paul is talking to these men who are leaders in the church. Maybe you say, I'm not a leader in this church yet, but I want you to understand that the source of giving to others comes from remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. Here, Paul says at the end of verse 28, talking about the church of God, what God had purchased with his own blood. That the blood of Jesus Christ is the one that purchased us. We're his church. We're part of the family of God. And remembering that, keeping that in our minds, will be the motivation to give to others. But we need to keep that in front of us at all times, remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. If we look at his life, the life of Jesus Christ, we can see that how he lived his life without any selfishness at all. That it cost him something great to give to us. In fact, it ended up costing him his life. He took our sins on Him, something that we can't do for anyone else. And yet, oftentimes, we struggle sharing the gospel with those that are around us because we forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. How that Jesus Christ didn't care what anyone else around Him was doing when He died on the cross because He knew that He was paying for our sins. He wanted to do that for us. He wanted to give His life for us. How much more then should we try to give to those that are around us? It is more blessed to give than to receive. As Pastor Jimmy said, we can't love God without loving His children. I want you to understand that we can't serve God and neglect the children of God also. So not just spreading the gospel, but also in verse 28, talks about feeding the church of God. Ministering to those that are here in our own church. Ministering to those that are around us. It's not easy, Paul says here in this chapter, but at the same time, it's very necessary. And in the end, it is more blessed to give than to receive. As I studied for this, I looked up something on Andrew Carnegie. In fact, Andrew Carnegie is listed as the second wealthiest man in all of history. And when they say history, they mean recorded history, where people kept track of how much money someone had or kept track of the wealth that someone had. So it's possible that someone, we look at the life of Job. Job was a very wealthy man. But even in Job's situation, we can look at the cattle that he had and think that he probably wasn't as wealthy in his time as Andrew Carnegie was in Andrew Carnegie's time. In fact, he was a billionaire, one of the first billionaires in history. And I looked up some of the things by 2005 standards of the dollar. He had over $100 billion in his life. Bill Gates, the richest living person, only has $40 billion right now. Even though he has assets that cover more than that, Andrew Carnegie's assets at his time were worth more than Bill Gates' assets are today. Listen to what Andrew Carnegie said. He was 33 years old when he wrote this and was already one of the wealthiest men in the world. He said, "Let us cast aside business forever except for others. Man must have an idol, and the amassing of wealth is one of the worst species of idolatry. No idol is more debasing than the worship of money. To continue much longer overwhelmed by business cares and with most of my thoughts wholly upon the way to make more money in the shortest time must degrade me beyond hope of permanent recovery." Shortly after this, he began to give away as much money as he could. In fact, by the time of his death, they estimate that he gave over $4.3 billion, just gave it away to people that were around him. His death, he willed over $30 million to build libraries and things like that. In fact, he was instrumental in building several libraries throughout the world, free of charge, the people that could come in and just get out books. And yet, even in his life, I don't believe that he grasped everything like Jesus grasped with this saying, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, Andrew Carnegie never gave his life for me. And yet Jesus Christ did that. We can look at the testimony of Andrew Carnegie, and he realized that riches weren't bringing him satisfaction. In fact, it was holding on to him. And it was weighing him down, and he needed to get rid of that in his life. And yet we look at the gospel of Christ, and we realize that we have something that's worth more than all the money in the world in our own hearts, what Jesus Christ has done for us, how He gave Himself for us. And that I want you to understand that there is something here that Andrew Carnegie realized, that he could contain his riches for himself. And in the same way, we need to understand that we can't contain the riches of God in our own hearts. We have to give it away. We won't lose it ourselves, but we must pass it on. We must give it to those that are around us. And in that way, it is more blessed to give than to receive.